Good evening. This is TNT Radio, brought to you by Blog and Broadcasting Service, and I'm Nevin Campanella, your net reporter. Today is March the 28th. What kind of day did you have today? It has certainly been most interesting in paradise. Yes, folks, think of what paradise means to you. Think of the serenity involved in paradise. Think of all the phone calls you get in paradise that are always, "I love you." Every one of them. Even your boss, when he calls, the very first thing he says is, "I love you. I love you. Now will you bleed for me a little?" Sometimes in paradise, you get more calls than you really wanted. I have a friend of mine sitting close by, as actually he wears a royal robe. That's the way he comes dressed to work, folks. I think he's a little bit, you know, but what the heck. Oh, yes, I'm being reminded of the Hefner robe. Actually, this robe was made from a piece of the Hefner robe. The Hefner robe is stitched into the very body of this entire robe, which makes it, of course, a holy robe. Okay, folks, you've probably had enough BS from this guy. Let's get on. Oh, you know what? March the 28th. This comes out of Wikipedia. I think we're going to add today's date to it. On March the 28th, 2006, the entire staff, I'm telling you, the entire staff of BBS Radio had a religious epiphany. They most certainly did. Actually, the Newsom brothers are wearing flowers in their hair right now and playing and strumming guitars. Very beautiful sight with the backdrop of the green and the rain trickling down. How about 1862 on March the 28th? Now, the reason I'm bringing this date up is because I never knew that a part of the Civil War actually took place in New Mexico. Had no idea. There's certainly no leftover mementos or anything like that. I lived in New Mexico for quite a number of years. All totally brand new to me. Anyway, the Union forces did succeed in stopping the Confederate invasion of New Mexico territory. That sounds pretty good. I have no idea that that even occurred. In 1930, this one has always amazed me. You know where Istanbul is. Well, in 1930, Istanbul was called Constantinople. Now, I'd like to take a vote. Which do you like better, Constantinople or Istanbul? I go for the opal part rather than the bull part. It just sounds better. 1964. Now, that relates to us. What happened on March 28th in history in 1964? The very first pirate radio station, Radio Caroline, was established. Isn't that amazing, folks? In 1964, the very first pirate radio station. And I'll tell you a little secret. There's a lot of pirate radio stations continuing today. And if you didn't know, by the way, Art Bell, I'm sure everybody knows who Art Bell is. If you're listening to this radio, you do. Actually ran a pirate radio station. And he fully admits to it on the air. Which, by the way, I think, I don't know if he's still operating the FM station. He might be. I'm really not sure. That man's life has changed so drastically. I feel sorry for him. Man went through major crises. Numerous times. And, of course, like everyone else, I was very saddened by the death of his wife. 1979. You remember this one, folks? I do. Three Mile Island? Yeah. The cooling system failed in the reactor. And some contaminated water came really close to causing a nuclear meltdown. And last but not least on the list, you young people will not know the name. Marlon Perkins was born in 1905. So who is Marlon Perkins? I'll tell you who Marlon Perkins is, folks. He is the man who used to work for Mutual of Omaha. Okay, you older folks out there, you remember the show? He ran a naturalist show on television for years, Wild Kingdom. He, in fact, was one of the very first people to initiate this type of broadcasting. By the way, he was actually associated with Sir Edmund Hillary in one of Hillary's expeditions to the Himalayas. I remember Marlon much later in life, an older gentleman. Of course, he didn't, when he was running the show, he did not participate that much on site. You know, I mean, they would track animals, they would demonstrate different species and so on and so forth. At the time, I mean, given, by the way, the first show was in 1963, at the time, that was rather amazing on television. And, I mean, think about it. We're just coming out of the 50s. We're coming out of soda shops. Television is kind of almost really getting roaring along. We're just switching from the black-white picture to the color picture. And here comes Marlon Perkins in 1963 with amazing footage for us at the time of animals. Of course, nothing like you would see today. But believe me, he really set the pace. And if you look at some of your naturalist shows, especially the ones coming off of satellite, for instance, the Corin experience, you can compare quite closely to what Marlon Perkins started. Anyway, enough of your education. Oh, one more thing on March the 28th. And again, only the older listening audience out there would be familiar with this name. This is the on March the 28th in 1979, Emmett Kelly died, and he was born in 1898. So who was Emmett Kelly? Well, for you younger people out there, he was one of the original creators of the sad clown face. He began his Weary Willie clown figure very early in the Depression era. But, you know, it wasn't that easy for him. He was originally working as a trapeze artist. Can you imagine that? But he was more interested in the clown performance, and eventually he got to do the clown role that he wanted to do. It wasn't very well accepted by the people who owned these circuses. But eventually it caught on, and he was probably most famous. The most peak of his years was in probably around 42 to 55, somewhere in there. He did a lot of work with both the Ringling Brothers and the Barnum and Bailey Circus. Okay, we did. Did you know this in history? Let's go on to a little bit of real news. You know, the kind that gets you juiced up in the morning. Things you're just waiting to hear. Well, apparently there's some kind of shakeup going on in the White House. And we're seeing the surface of it today with the resignation of Andy Card. There's a kind of a very strange-looking picture. I don't know if it's still up on the Matt Drudge site. And both Bush and Card are standing together. And the look on Card's face is like, I don't know, resigned depression. He's taking it very stoically, okay? He really is. But this guy looked like he went through a very tough past few days. I think Mr. Card himself asked to resign. I don't think he was asked to resign. He brought the suggestion up, I'm sure. Because Bush did trust him quite a bit, and I'm sure Bush was not all that anxious to let him go, but shakeups are apparently going to occur. It was probably advised by a number of people, and so Mr. Card quit. Well, from All Spin Zone, I got to read this. It's from the blog, and it is on Andy Card. Quote, Andrew Card is gone. It is unclear if this is a window dressing or the beginning of a major makeover of White House staff. I don't think it's window dressing. No, I really don't. I think what you're about to see, first of all, is a lot of fallout from people who have been arrested, et cetera, et cetera. And I think you're going to see some real quick stepping here. I think there's going to be a lot of people that are going to get the shaft, so to speak. It's going to happen. This is not just window dressing. Around the blogs. What have we got around the blogs? How about... this is really weird. Test tube meat. I'm not kidding, folks. That's right. Test tube meat. Now, what could I possibly mean by that? Well, the scientists are projecting that within the next 5 years, we'll be able to grow your T-bone steak in a Petri dish. I'm not kidding, folks. Let me read the article. Science, you don't want to eat this. Scientists can grow frogs and mouse meat in the lab. And they're now working on pork, beef, and chicken. Their goal is to develop an industrial version of the process in 5 years. Okay, let me try to explain it. We're talking about meat in vitro, okay? When you go to the supermarket and you pick up, 5 years from now, you pick up a steak, like a real nice T-bone, there's no bovine attached to that steak. It never was alive. It was just a steak. I'm getting a call here from the owner of the station, and he's saying he'd like to place an order in for Petri dish grown pork chops. We can do that. Or you might have to wait 5 years. I don't know. What would you order? First of all, how weird would it be? And let's try this one experimentally in your head. If you can grow moose meat in a dish, what is the next step but to grow frog meat and moose meat together? You know, so you have a frogmo. Folks, I don't know. Maybe this, in fact, will satisfy those vegetarians who do not want to eat something that once had a face. Well, here's your opportunity. What's for dinner? Moose meat raised in a Petri dish. Do we live in an amazing universe or what? You know, I once told my wife I hated gardening. I wish I could raise steaks out there. Damn, I think I'm going to be able to. I mean, it could happen. You set the Petri dishes outside, raise a row of steaks. You know what? My boss's wife made some ribs, these baby back ribs, about 5 or 6 days ago. Do you know what, folks? They were so good, I'm still dreaming of the damn things. They were that good. Oh, I love those things. So now maybe I can look forward to baby backs in a Petri dish. Onward and upward here. We're going to go from the Petri dish to bastards. That's right. Bastards, but they're ours. This is from usndembet.com/blog. quote, yeah, it's death squad days in Iraq. Gosh golly, who would have thought that an administration stocked with the remnants of administrations from Nixon to Bush 1 would be engaging on the development of death squads as foreign policy. The U.S. ambassador urged Iraq's divided leaders to rein in militias on Saturday as political blocs failed again to break a deadlock on forming a unity government that they hope can avert civil war. Oh, crap, that ain't going to happen, folks. Not in your wildest dreams. They're in civil war now. You can't, there's nothing to avert. It's already going on. What, are these people blind? You have a civil war in Iraq. We've got no business there. And even the stupid Democrats are afraid to vote on a bill to pull us out for fear of setting a date. How dumb. We're going to keep killing more and more of our young people in a war where we should have been to begin with. It's a civil war now, folks. And you know how it got that way? We put it there. Quote, more Iraqis are dying from the militia violence than from the terrorists. Whoa. The militias, quote, the militias need to be under control. End of quote. Back to the blog. Yeah, quote, we're doing good over there, rebuilding power plants, painting schools, forming democracy, and goddamn, encouraging the development of death squads as foreign policy. We've seen this movie before. What's the difference between an insurgent and a death squad? Seems that it's whether or not your ultimate nominal leader is Osama bin Forgotten. I can't say the next one because I don't believe it. It's a slam on George W. Bush. I slam him enough. I'm not going to use this particular one. But you'll have a link to it. You can read it yourself. I think it's unfair. And I, you know, believe it or not, I do try to be fair. Even with the insane in Washington, D.C. This is from The Agonist. And the title, and this is usually a pretty good blog. The title is, it's called Insurgency. It originally comes, and I've never heard of this before, folks, the International Herald Tribune. I'm not a big reader of the newspapers online. I'm really not. So I'm just not familiar with it. Quote, again, this is from The Agonist. One question that a watchful press should be asking of the American-led forces in Iraq is how carefully and how successfully they are applying the doctrine of distinction. Oh, I know where this is going, folks. Hang on to your hats. That is laid down in the laws of war, which require that combatants be distinguished from non-combatants so that the latter could be protected. Now, doesn't that sound reasonable, folks? I mean, you would not think, would you, that an army would purposely go in and kill off citizens, at least not a modern-day army. Well, guess what? That's exactly what we did in World War II. What do you think we did when we bombed Germany? Let me read it. The doctrine was devised by the military powers and international power groups over the last half decade in response to the systematic bombing of civilians in World War II. The principles of that strategy, which was then called area bombing, actually it was also called, mainly called carpet bombing, were of course the British and American air forces who between them, listen to this folks, between the British and American air forces during World War II, they killed 1 million civilians, oh here it comes, by carpet bombing German and Japanese cities. That's a lot of people not wearing uniforms, folks. So what happens? You know, you have this situation going on. It took decades, quote, it took decades after the war before the deliberate aerial bombing of civilians was designated a war crime. Are you listening and paying attention? Because we're going to come up to the current day here. Part of the reason for this slow response was understandably that the atrocities committed by the Axis powers were so vast that they overshadowed everything else. And people on the Allied side comforted themselves with the belief that defeating Nazism justified all the means used. You still believe that, folks? Any means to the end? Are we going to evolve beyond that? Will we? I keep hearing that we're going to ascend. They keep telling me this is the damnedest ascension I've ever seen. It all seems to go straight to hell. All means to any end? Sorry, folks. That's the old world. That's the one we've got to give up. When you, in your mind, start engaging in situational ethics, that's what that is. Any means to an end. As the situation changes, you change your ethics. That's a crazy world to live in. It's a world where the corrupt take over. And that's the world you got. Why? Because, folks, we all engage in situational ethics. Unless, of course, it doesn't cost us anything. Yeah. Let me give you an example. You go to the store. The lady at the cashier gives you 10 cents too much. You walk up to the door and say, oh, 10 cents too much. I better go give it back to her. What the hell? It doesn't cost you anything. 10 cents. Who cares, right? So now, right after you leave the grocery store, you're going to apply for a job. You're sitting down in a room with three or four other people who are applying for the same job. And you have to fill out this form as best you can, in perfect writing, because all this counts, right? No mistakes. And you happen to notice that the person next to you has made a drastic error on the form, and you know that that would fail them from getting the job. Are you going to tell them? B.S. Most of you would not. Beep. We need a hook here. Yeah. The 10 cents didn't cost you anything, but this could cost you a job. Most of you would just smile inside and say, oh boy, the job is mine. Along with the job, you know what else you got? A lot of bad karma. Bad, quote, bad as memories of the war faded. Oh, excuse me. But as memories of the war faded, the stark immorality of deliberately massacring civilians could no longer be denied. Yeah, they finally realized, oh boy, we just killed a whole bunch of civilians. Let's not talk about it too loud. In 1977, but when I get to the end of this, folks, you're going to see why I'm taking this much time. In 1977, a protocol requiring militaries to distinguish between civilians and combatants was added to the Geneva Convention. Britain is among the signatories. The United States has never, ever ratified it. That's right, folks. We still live under a government that has no control in terms of carpet bombing. Since our government has not ratified it, we do not follow that part of the Geneva Convention. What does that mean? You tell me. This is from, I'm not even sure, oh, this was just a little note. It's from gopbloggers.org. What does that mean? We're talking about the right wing. That's right. Every once in a while, I got to take a break from the silliness of the Democrats to the insanity of the Republicans. Quote, the latest Rasmussen report poll in the race for governor of Michigan shows Democrat Governor Jennifer Granholm and Republican Dick DuBois tied 44-44. So why is this being reported? Because the person who wrote the blog believes that because it's tied, this somehow vindicates the stupidity of Republicans. I swear, folks, that's why the person wrote it. Listen, quote, this confirms the tightening of the race, first reported last month. What BS? There's no tightening of the race. This race has always been an unknown. And, okay, here we go. My crock of crap award. This is not an unkindness, folks. You know, usually I give it out to the national media or left-wing bloggers. This goes to the right-wing blogger, GOPbloggers.org. Not for what I just read. Listen to this. Quote, too bad, San Francisco. This is just a foretaste of what is to come for you. You see why you can try to seal yourself off from the truth. What are they talking about here, folks? This is a wingnut Christian fanatic, okay? It will not be denied. Entrenched behind your progressive walls, you may feel safe from all those Christians and other believers out there. But given that you've created a spiritual wasteland, there is a growing, even if unconscious, hunger for real enlightenment and real faith, hope, and charity. Don't fret, tough friends. Don't fret, tough. These Christians might see, I don't even know if I can read this last sentence with a straight face. These Christians might seem alarming to you at first, but all they really want to do is tell you about themselves. Actually, that's what they said during the Spanish Inquisition. Oh, we're not going to hurt you. We just want to give you our resume. Last sentence. Here comes the mind blower. Keep an open mind. You might find that it doesn't hurt a bit. Oxymoron? An open-minded conservative. Folks, that's impossible. It's a contradiction of terms. How the hell can you be conservative when you've already set the limit? Therefore, how can you have an open mind? It doesn't add up. So, according to this person, Christians who are extremely conservative have an open mind and are asking you to have an open mind about what you're going to get by getting out of your really distasteful spiritual wasteland. I give up. I give up. Hey, here's one. I got to tell you something. Michelle Malkin, I hardly ever agree with her politics, but she's got to be, though, the absolute best-looking blogger on the net. I think I'm going to vote. I'm going to set up a vote, and I got to tell you, Michelle is one beautiful lady. If she's listening, Michelle, it's not a compliment. That was just a fact. Okay. She's got quite a bit to say. Hold on here. Quote, hundreds of Muslims are descending on a Liverpool house. Oh, this is interesting. Listen to this. What many are calling a miracle, two fish are causing huge excitement among the faithful who can say that each of these fish are inscribed with holy names. You know what? There's pictures on Michelle's site of these two fish. By the way, what's really unusual to me is that these are two Oscar fish. The names of Allah and Muhammad are inscribed in their scales. Now, why? Why am I bringing up, what is it, something about Oscar fish? They're predator fish. Sorry, folks, that's an Oscar. They are predator fish. Let me say this about things inscribed on things. Have you ever heard of the Mother Teresa cinnamon roll? I'm not kidding. I'll bring my wife on and she'll verify this. There was a cinnamon roll that when it came out of the oven, it looked like a sculpture of Mother Teresa's face. It was well advertised. It was advertised all over the net. People would come from long distances. I don't have this in my notes in front of me. I'm just reporting to you what I remember. Well, a tragedy occurred. Somebody ripped off the muffin or the cinnamon roll. They ripped it off or ate it. I don't know. But anyway, there's a big to-do about it. Maybe about 6 months back. Let me get on with this with the fish. Let's see. Okay. Leaders at the nearby Al-Rama Mosque in Hathaway Street are in no doubt about the authenticity. Quote, this is a proof and a sign, not just to Liverpool's Muslims, but for everyone. Quote, end quote. The fish were brought last week from a pet store in Speke by Ali Awakidi, 23. He spotted a squiggle on the side of one fish that mirrored the Arabic word for God, which is Allah. Now, isn't that amazing? Come on, even you non-believers out there, that's got to be amazing to you. I mean, you can't just accidentally get that kind of thing. You're going to call that a coincidence? Yeah, I'm going to side with the Muslims this time. I think something is happening. I don't know what produces it. And I don't think it's an accident. I think it's a very real thing. And maybe it's to get people to focus their attention from their point of view, which is in terms of the all-powerful God and the prophet of that God, which is Muhammad. And maybe the whole point over there is to get people to focus on something a little bit more spiritual than what's going on right now. Because what's going on in the Middle East is very far from the word of Muhammad. I mean, extremely far, folks. I know there's a lot of crazy U.S. citizens out there that think that all Muslims are like this. That's just BS. I'm very well acquainted with many Muslim people, primarily at the university systems. I'm not denying the fanatical fringe, but I got to tell you, folks, it's the fanatical fringe doing it. This has got nothing to do with Islam. What you're seeing in the Middle East has nothing to do with the word of Muhammad. I read the book. I don't know how many of you Christians out there have ever read it. I've read it. I've read the Quran. Did you? No. I doubt whether you can spell it. Maybe you should read it. I'm telling you, folks. The Muslim world is getting some really bad press from the fanatical fringe. Just like Christians get bad press from the fanatical fringe of Christianity. I know a lot of nice Christians. At least two. No, I'm just joking. Just joking. You don't want to shoot all animals just because you ran across one mad one. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. I've read the Quran. Believe me, there's nothing in the Quran that tells these fanatics to blow up people or blow up themselves. This is a fanatical fringe, and they've got the young people believing it. Maybe the young people aren't reading the Quran enough. They ought to give it a try. From the red state. How about you don't know what the red state is? You know, it's not a communist state. You know, the first time I ran across, I didn't know what it was. I said, the red state? What is it, a bunch of communists? No. It's Texas. Did you know that? I didn't. I love surfing the net. I love doing the news because I find out all this really fascinating and useless information. I don't know what to do with it, but I hand it to you. Quote, a new report charges that hundreds of industrial and municipal facilities, I'm laughing because you'll see, around the state, including a local sewage treatment plant, routinely dump more pollution into rivers and streams than their permit allows. Than their permit allows? What are these people, nuts? They're putting on a permit. Oh, go ahead and dump over there. Go ahead and crap in our stream. Oh, but only 3,000 gallons. I can't believe this, folks. You get a permit to pollute. I mean, is this bizarre? How is it worded? I'd love to see one of these permits. The pollution permit. This allows you 90,000 gallons. Oh, folks, this is sad. This is really, really sad. There's got to be a better way. There has got to be a better way. Okay, out of the red state and into... Yeah, but we're getting down towards some of my older notes. You know, I've been preaching on this microphone that there's not enough of us standing up and doing something, like go vote. You know, there's other things you can do to help out. How about something as simple? How about something as simple as taking a health care poll, which would help the bureaucrats in the American health system come up with better plans for taking care of ill people? Quote, quote, your government wants to know what you think about the American healthcare system based on the information they collect in town hall meetings, internet polls, virtual meetings, blogs, and forums. The Citizens Working Healthcare Group will report their findings to Congress in 2007. Now, folks, I took the poll. And it takes about, I'm a slow reader. It took me 15 minutes. It'll probably take most of you 10. It's an easy way to get involved. Look, you can actually do something. I'm not asking you to go vote. I'm not asking you to change your politics. I'm not asking you to go to church on Sunday. All I'm asking you to do is take a poll. 15 minutes of your time, and you will have contributed to the better good of all. Now, isn't that wonderful? When I post these tomorrow morning at tntradio.blogspot, you'll have a specific link that will take you right to the poll. Okay, from lovely Blonde Sense. I really like this particular blog spot. The gal there has a wonderful sense of humor. And it's a really nice picture, gentlemen. Quote, if you needed any more evidence that the American Taliban is now fully in charge here in America. Here you are. Last week, a federal appeals court upheld the dismissal of a lawsuit asserting this weird Mississippi's sex toys law is unconstitutional. They have a sex toy law outlawing sex toys in Mississippi. Why would anybody care? This is bizarre. Ladies, apparently the ladies in Mississippi are running across the border a lot because there's no vibration left in Mississippi. This is bizarre. I mean, really? What else do they want to control in their life, folks? Is this weird or what? Let me finish up a quote here. Hold on. This quote is not from me. This is from the Gallup Watson. Quote, what's the deal? We can't have sex when we're married if we're not doing it to make babies. We can't have sex outside of marriage because that makes us sluts. Now, we can't have sex without ourselves because, I don't know, somebody help me out here. I guess that means we're never supposed to have an orgasm again. Say it with me, ladies. They can have my vibrator when they pry it from my cold, dead hands, end quote. Oh, jeez, folks. Do I live, you know, sometimes I feel like I'm at the Mad Hatter Tea Party. You know, change cups? Is this for real? Is this really for real? I'm going to have to get me an icon of the Mad Hatter. I feel like I've been falling, first of all, I feel like I've been falling down a rabbit hole all day here when I was in Wonderland. You never knew which was up or which was down. But you go through the news, let me tell you, it's like a different planet. All right, where are we at? Somebody wants to get killed with a television. Hold on. This is from The Culture Ghost. That's the name of the blog. And what I do, let me tell you what I do. I'll start out with any blog, you know, a fairly well-known one. Then I go down their list of blocks, and I pick another block from their list. And, of course, the link takes me right to it. And I keep doing that on every one that I go to. I find an interesting-looking one, and I find some interesting news. Quote, the only television I watch currently is the local news at 5 p.m. and the network news at 5:30 p.m. I watched the Olympics this past February. Beyond that, I have no use for television. And I shouldn't even watch the news. I loathe the local news. I detest the format, the content, the news anchors, the Burgoyne sentiment exposed in every episode. I watch the local news so I can viciously lampoon every moment of it. Using a variety of devices, including a vibrator. No, wait a minute, wrong spot, hold on. A little joke there. Variety of devices, including, but not limited to, impersonations, mocking voices, repetition of keywords and phrases. I don't even spare the weather, idiot. I mute their sports segment as I couldn't give a damn about Barry Bonds or local college basketball. What does that mean? Or local college basketball, but they do about college? I mean, high school or pro? Ah, methinks we have a pro. We got a pro basketball fan in here somewhere. They're trying to hide it. It's coming out. It's called, is that good investigation or what? Quote, the network news just makes me angry. A giant corporate propaganda machine churning out stories with the depth of a carpet stain. You know. I read that whole thing because I love that last line. A giant corporate propaganda machine churning out stories with the depth of a carpet stain. Does that blow your wind? This person's got it. This place has got a person's got a good way with words. However, they still continue to provide or pay their cable provider $34.95 for this service. Okay. Here's a good one, and I support it wholeheartedly. This comes from Senator Ted Kennedy. Now, Senator Ted Kennedy is a Democrat in Massachusetts. How do I feel about him? I think he's a scumbag. Yep. I think he's a scumbag. You heard me say it. That's what I believe about Ted Kennedy. Why? Because most of you younger people do not know that this man was responsible for the death of his secretary and got away with it because he's got money. It happened many years ago, folks. Driving over a causeway, over water. The car went off into the water. He was in it. She was in it. She drowned. They were both probably drinking. However, why do I support him today? I don't. Not him as a person. I support what he is making an attempt to do. And it's real simple. He's trying to get the federal government to raise the minimum wage to $7.25 per hour over 2 years. Folks, that is not unreasonable at all. I don't care whether you're left or right. That is not unreasonable. Think about it. Over the past 10 years, members of Congress, in 10 years, have raised their own pay by $31,000. But the minimum wage hasn't gone up a cent, said Kennedy. Not one cent. It's still $5.15. Well, can anybody live on that? No. I don't think it's at all unreasonable. And we're talking over 2 years here. I mean, it's not like if it went through, it would be raised tomorrow. Folks, I did it again. It's that magic moment, magic time. When I say to you, the Mad Hatter, from the other side of the mirror. Good night.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.